Amen. Jesus conquered the grave. Amen. And that's why you're here today. If you didn't conquer the grave, go home. Let's shut the doors of the church, sell the building, go home. It's just another one of 1,000 voices claiming to have the way to heaven. But because he rose from the grave, that makes him unique and gives his message authority over every other message on the planet. He's the only one that was crucified on the cross, 3 days later rose again from the dead. That's why we're here. Hey, by the way, men, I wanted to let you know, too, we started our men's fraternity last Tuesday night and Wednesday morning. We had like 65, 70 men total that came to both Wednesday morning and Tuesday night. Still not too late to join. If you want to join us, come. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, Wednesday morning, 6 a.m. Same sessions, just more convenient times for various people. So come and join us. Let's have a word of prayer as we get into God's word. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your presence. Lord, you are mighty to save. Lord, there are many other messages out there in this world today, but Lord, you are the one who died and rose again. You are the one that is exalted. And Lord, you reign on high. And Lord, as we open up your word, may we open up our lives to your inspection, Lord. We want to be like you. We want to be like you, Lord. You're worthy to be followed. So we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're in a series entitled Right and Wrong from the Beginning. We're studying the book of Genesis. The word Genesis means beginnings. A lot of things began in the book of Genesis. And one of the things that will begin with the selection of the father of a great nation through whom the entire earth will be blessed is the beginning of the nation of Israel. How did it all start? How did Jesus come through the nation of Israel? Well, it's all about a man by the name of Abraham. And we're talking about Abraham answering the call. That Abraham, when he heard God's call, he answered that call. And I want to tell you today, every one of you has a call on your life today. Every one of you has a job to do, a task to do as a believer in Jesus Christ. There really are two calls that are talked about in the Word of God. One is the call to salvation. When you were like doing your own thing and having your own agenda and following your own path, and all of a sudden you met Jesus Christ and you felt called to Jesus Christ. And you made a decision, and he drew you to himself, and you made a decision to follow him and place your faith and trust in him and what he did on the cross. That's call number one. Now it's an individual call that you're trying to find out. Hey, God, where do I serve you? How do I make an impact in your kingdom? How can I be part of building your kingdom? We're going to talk about that today. Kind of a seminar on how to find God's call in your life and answering that call. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one nearby. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. This is a great passage. Abraham lived about 2,000 years before Jesus Christ. So God's working out his redemptive plan. It's all about drawing people to himself. It's all about God pursuing us. Religion is all about man pursuing God. God is all about him, God, pursuing us. And that's what he's doing all throughout the Old Testament, planning out his redemption. Let me just read verse 1. I'll stop at verse 3 and then we'll finish the rest of it. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you or curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, the text should jump out of you for this reason. When you read the Word of God, there's no indication of any quality in Abraham that caused Abraham to stand out from the rest of the crowd. Now, we believe he was a follower of the true God when God called him. But I think God does this to show us that God can use anyone if you answer the call. God loves using ordinary people. And if you think Abraham was chosen because he was some superstar, the Word doesn't give us any indication of that. In fact, what I love about the Word of God is that all throughout the Word of God, you see God choosing ordinary people to do extraordinary things. That encourages me. I hope it encourages you that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. How? If you feel like you're an ordinary person, that means you probably have an attitude of, Lord, in spite of my frailties, in spite of my shortcomings, in spite of my failures, if you somehow can use me, that would be awesome. If you have that attitude, that you're the exact kind of person God can use. If you have an attitude like this, hey, God, now that I'm on your team, now finally you can make a difference in this world with me on your team, then God can't use you. God loves using ordinary people who are all about somehow, God, use me by your power. The bottom line of this sermon today is this. Abraham obeys the call of God and makes a difference for eternity. God does his work through those who are faithful and available to the challenges, and all of us have them, right? Challenges in life. Hey, Mel, if I make a stand for Jesus Christ, there are going to be people that are going to be in my face. If I get involved in this ministry, there'll be people that, wow, it'll take some time to really minister to them and help their lives be turned around. It's a challenge. But God is calling us to be faithful and available to the challenges and opportunities that he brings into our lives. And I'm so thankful you're here at Riverview Church, because I believe God is doing some great things. And I hear a lot of the stories of people whose lives are being changed by the power of God, all because there are faithful people out there serving in many different capacities. In the children's ministries, in the youth ministries, the young adult ministries, in the men's and women's ministries, among our seniors, in various capacities like a homeless ministry, a recovery ministry, so many different things, the loft house ministry, so many different things going on throughout the church. Even those that welcome you when you come in on Sunday morning, and the people that are putting the food out for us after every service. All of that is part of building God's kingdom. It's making people aware that there's a God who loves them and can change their lives. And all of us as followers of Jesus Christ are called to something much bigger than ourselves. We're not here to waste our lives just following my agenda. We were doing that before we came to Christ, and that's a loser plan. But the plan about following God's plan and being part of his kingdom makes our lives worthwhile, gives us purpose and meaning. Abraham lived in a place called Ur, and the Bible's really clear. In Acts 7:2, it says that while Abraham was in Ur, God called him out of there. He gives him another message when he gets to Haran, which you see at the top of the map. But Ur is a place where God originally called Abraham out of. It says this in Genesis 15:7. And God said to Abraham, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. God originally met Abraham in Ur. Now, Ur was a place where Abraham lived. That was his hometown. Archaeologists have found Ur. It's about 160 miles southeast of modern-day Baghdad in Iraq. It's a place where Abraham lived. It was his hometown. It was his comfort zone. And when God called Abraham out of Ur, there might have been a battle. There's no indication of it in Scripture, but I know I might have struggled with it, but God, this is my comfort zone. This is my hometown. I love beautiful downtown Ur. Next year, they're celebrating their 100th year Ur anniversary. Well, God called him out of that, out of his comfort zone, and Abraham obeyed. No indication of a battle with God. Abraham was there saying, hey, man, I'm ready to go, God, if you've called me. So he left Ur. And he traveled to eventually this place that God would show him. Now, when he left Ur, did Abraham know where he was going? No, not at all. Abraham had no idea where he was going. But God said, I'm going to follow me. I'm going to show you a land that I'm going to give to you. And Abraham trusted God. He said, okay, I'm going to follow you. He walked with eyes of faith, the Bible says. One of my favorite illustrations of walking with eyes of faith. And I think I've shared this before. But when I was a kid, I watched this game show called The Money Maze. And it was an amazing show. I loved the show. How many of you ever watched The Money Maze? See, that's why it's not on today, because I was the only person who ever watched it. But it was a great game show. I loved it. And what would happen is a couple would generally come, and they would have the task of running through this maze in a certain amount of time to beat the clock. If they beat the clock and rang a bell at the middle of the maze, they won a lot of money. Well, that might be very difficult, except for the fact that generally one of the individuals in that couple would be standing above the maze on a platform. Let's say it was the wife standing above the platform. She would yell down instructions to her husband, go left, go right, go straight, go left. Not once in all the times of watching that show did I ever see the husband in the middle of the maze turn to his wife above the maze and say, forget you, I'm doing this on my own, no more instructions. Never saw that, never. Ever. Why? Because all he saw was a wall in front of him, the option to go right or left. He didn't know which way to go, but he knew the person that was high and lifted up above the maze could see the path that led to the prize, and there was 100% obedience. That's what it should be like with us. Our God is high and lifted up. He sees the paths that lead to destructive dead ends. He sees the paths that lead to the prize. And we ought to say, forget my perspective. I need God's perspective. I need to live my life according to his plan and his direction. But I'm going to walk by faith that he knows the path that leads to that prize. And he does. And Abraham left Ur and went up through Haran to the north and then came down to the promised land of Israel. And here's the first thing I see in the text that I think relates to us. I kind of sense from Abraham, no debate, God, before I leave, give me a travel brochure, a travel itinerary, give me the dates of where I'm going to be and how long I'm going to stay there, and then I'll follow you. Nothing like that. There's a sense in which Abraham just was like, anything, God. My prayer would be that for you as well, that you would say, God, anything. I want to be available to serve where God leads me. I've been called by God into this wonderful family of God, to be part of the family of God, the body of Christ, and now I want to make a difference for eternity. God, wherever you want me to serve, I want to serve. Young people today, if you're in high school, I know our junior hires have left the room, but if you're in high school today, or a college student, are you saying to God, God, anything you want me to do, I will do. Anything you have for me. You may have your plans, but I want to challenge you today. Have you brought your plans to God? Hey, God, I want to be doing this with the rest of my life. And Lord, I pray that if that would be your will for my life, that you would open up the doors for me to be what you've called me to be. Do you bring it to God? Do you challenge him? Parents, are you excited about whatever God leads your kids to do? That should be probably the theme of raising our kids. Hey, I want you to do what God wants you to do. Whatever that is, you do it with all your heart. When our kid, I don't know what to do. Well, first of all, whatever God wants you to do, that's what I want you to do. Seek God. Seek his desires. I believe every calling is a sacred calling if God is involved in the process. If you're a policeman today, a fireman, if you're a businessman, if you have your own business at home, whatever it might be, if you've decided to stay at home and be with your kids, whatever you feel God has called you to be, if God has called you there, it's a sacred calling, just as sacred as being a pastor. And I remember when I was a high school student, I had my own plans. I didn't involve God at all in my plans. I was going to go to this university. I was accepted to a business program, business management program. I was going to go there. I was so happy to get into that program. But my youth pastor, who had been challenging me all along and discipling me, began to say, do you know what God wants you to do? I want to challenge you to take 1 year to Bible college before you go to that state university. If you take 1 year, just see what God wants you to do. Take 1 year just focusing on the Lord. I was like, oh, come on, Phil. I'm set. I got in. I'm excited. I'm going to go and just make a name for myself in business. Does that sound familiar? That's what Babel said last week, right? I'll make a name for myself. And he kept saying, Mel, 1 year, 1 year. Pray about it. And I remember getting a letter from my, and it began to just eat at my heart. And I remember getting a letter from the university saying, you have not confirmed your spot with this university. If you do not confirm within 1 week, you will lose your spot to someone else. So contact us right away. And I remember reading the letter in my home, and my mom walked in and said, what are you reading? I said, I got this letter from the university, and I just haven't confirmed yet because I don't feel right about it, and I don't know what to do. And she said, well, you got to pray about it. And I said, well, you know what? Every time I think about signing this letter, I feel like I'm a sellout if I sign it. Because I believe God's calling me to go to Bible college for a year. And she said, then go. Then you got to go. I was so thankful for parental support that said, you do what God wants you to do. And I went to Bible college, and I knew that's where God wanted me. I just love being involved in studying God's word. And I got the opportunity to lead a youth group after my freshman year at a church and just loved it and just sensed this is what God wants me to do. That was my story. Your story might be similar. But my prayer would be that you would involve God in the process. God, I want to know what you would have me do. Anything, God. My heart is available. I'm open. We see in the text, it was a pretty specific calling too. God told him exactly what his plans were for Abraham. He said, I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. By the way, isn't that the opposite of Babel? When Babel says, hey, we're going to make our name great. We're going to make a name for ourselves. God's saying, I'm going to make your name great. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be an influence on people around you. You'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. All people on the earth will be blessed through you. That was a subtle prophecy to the coming of the Messiah, that through Jesus Christ, everyone on the planet would be blessed. All the families of the earth would be blessed through Abraham's descendants. See, it was pretty specific. Abraham, I'm going to make out of you a nation through whom the entire earth will be blessed. You might say, well, Mel, it's sometimes hard to do what God wants you to do. Sometimes it's difficult. I want to tell you this today. If you involve God in the process and you have a confirmation, this is what God wants me to do, it's worth it. If this is God's calling on your life, it's worth it. There will be trials, there will be struggles, but you know this is where God wants you. I like what Jesus said in Matthew 19. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. What Jesus is saying is, it's worth it. You find my calling in your life. You follow what God wants you to do. You'll receive more than you ever imagined. It may not be in money. It may not be in wealth. But just in knowing that you've made an impact for all of eternity by doing what God has called you to do. See, I believe this. A need does not constitute a call. You may say, well, Mel, I know there's a place that has a need. That must be where God's calling me. Not necessarily. A need does not constitute a call. It's certainly a good place to start. If you know of a need and it kind of resonates with your heart and your desires and your passions, you may want to say, hey, maybe I should check that out. Maybe that's where God wants me to serve. I'm trying to be a light for Christ in my secular workplace. I believe that's where God's called me. That is a sacred calling in a secular workplace. If that's where God wants you, you have a ministry there in that workplace. In that high school where you're at now, you have a ministry there. In that college that you're attending, you have a ministry there. Your first and foremost most calling is to be a light for Jesus Christ and to be a witness for him. Then God has a place for you to serve, to use your gifts and abilities. There are many different types of gifts and abilities. There are gifts of teaching. There are gifts of leading, administration. There are gifts of helps, of mercy. The list is found in different passages of God's word. You may have gifts along those lines. God is calling you to be involved, to take those gifts and make a difference, to get off the bench and make a difference. I was up in Orange County yesterday with my daughter, who was playing in a volleyball tournament. There were probably about 25 high schools there. And it was exciting to see the competition. And you know, every girl on the bench that's sitting the bench while the game is going on, they want in. They want to get in. They don't want to sit the bench. They want to be part of the action. We ought to have that same desire to get in the game. And I had noticed quite a few parents, you know, when my daughter's in there playing, I'm always cheering a lot louder, right? I'm always like, yeah, go. But there were some parents who were really into it. I mean, there was one guy on one team. He wasn't the coach. He would stand near the corner of the court and be yelling and screaming instructions at the girls on the team. And the coach was just pretty calm on the sideline. But this parent, get that ball. Oh, how could you miss that? You got to get that next time. Play like you belong here. Yelling instructions. And all the parents were like, are they paying this? Is he an associate coach or something? What's going on? But he was like yelling instructions from the sidelines. Aren't you thankful that our God does not yell instructions from the sidelines? That he came and he lived among us and walked among us and he showed us exactly how we ought to live and is there walking with us every step of the way. If you're saying, man, I don't know if I feel worthy to get involved in a ministry, by God's help, you'll make a difference. God will walk with you every step of the way. You might say, well, what is really a calling then? What is it? Well, look at Romans 1, verses 1 through 6. Paul really identifies two types of callings in the Word of God. He says this, Paul, a servant of Christ, Jesus, called to be an apostle. I believe that's his vocational calling. He was called to be an apostle. There were other callings of believers. There were some called to be tent makers, or some called to be shipbuilders, and others called to be fishermen. But he was called to be an apostle. That was his calling. Then he says this, to bring about the obedience of faith, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, that's our call of salvation. Right there are the two different calls I've already mentioned. You've been called into the body of Christ. God has drawn you into this family. And now he's calling you to a part of the body of Christ. That there's a piece of the body of Christ, a part of the body of Christ that you are to fulfill with your gifts and abilities as you help the body to be healthy. So I believe a calling is this. A strong conviction resulting from God's work in your life that your vocation and or your ministry is what God wants you to do for at least a season of your life. There are people I know that, I mean, I'm called to be working with the youth ministry. And they've done that for 10 years, and all of a sudden, you know, now I feel God calling me to be involved with our men's ministry, to help out there. That's where God's calling me. It was great being in the youth ministry for that season of my life. Now God's calling me to something different. But do you know what God's called you to? Are you even seeking that? Where is God calling me? What are my gifts and abilities that can be used for him? There are many excuses to God's call. You might say, well, how can I do this thing you're calling me to do, Lord? I don't feel qualified. I don't feel like I can do it. Well, with that attitude, you're the exact kind of person God is looking for, a person that says, God can't do this with my own strength. I need you. I need you to be involved. But there are a number of excuses, a repertoire of excuses that people can give. One is this: I'm not ready. I need much more training. I can't, until I have like 5-6 years of training, I can't help out with the kids' ministry. You know, if you've worked with kids, you know the thing is just jump in and love them, show them the love of Christ. And as you do it, you will learn it. If you've ever learned a board game, how many of you say, let's just start playing the game and we'll figure it out, right? Play the game and we'll learn it. That's how the body of Christ is. You jump in, you make yourself available, and there'll be training and there'll be ways in which you can be more effective that the church will share with you. But God will use you if your heart's ready to learn. Someone else is more qualified, God. There's somebody else out there. That's their job. I know there's a need in this ministry, but I mean, that's somebody else's job, not mine. Somebody's much more qualified than I am. That's an excuse. Because every one of those people that you feel are qualified began by knowing nothing about that ministry and began to grow and become more effective. Here's another excuse. This will cost too much. This will cost too much. I'll miss America's Got Talent, and that's when that show is on and the ministry meets on that night. It'll cost too much. You're missing out on so many blessings in your life. Missing out on so many blessings. I know in my life, when my youth pastor challenged me to lead this Bible study with my high school friends in my high school ministry. At first, I didn't want to do it. I was so into sports, loved sports, wanted to do that all the time. And all of a sudden, as I began to do this, I began to love the Bible study more than, you know what, I'll play basketball later. This is really important. What's going on here is really cool. And all of a sudden, my passion began to grow for teaching the Word of God above playing the sport that I used to love. Here's the next thing. What's my second choice? Is there something else out there? I don't want to do that. Or third choice or fourth choice. Maybe God's opened up this opportunity for you to investigate it and see if this is where you might be willing to serve. Maybe later, Lord, in a few years I can do it. Right now I'm just way too busy. I got so much on my plate. God wants us to jump in now. And some things in our schedule that we think are really important, and if we're not serving God, usually we can carve them out or cut them back a little bit and make a difference for Jesus Christ. And I'm saying this not because you necessarily have to be involved here. There are many of you who are serving in parachurch organizations around the community, making a difference for Jesus Christ. What I want you all to experience is the joy of serving the Lord and making a difference for Him. Many of you are serving in home groups in your houses, just being small little churches that meet in homes, and you're ministering to one another and encouraging one another. And so often our excuses are based on ourselves and our own evaluation of ourselves and not on the one who has called you, that will empower you, that will strengthen you to make a difference in the lives of others. Here's the next thing I see with Abraham. It's this. He was called to something. You kind of get a sense that God was going to call Abraham, and Abraham would go wherever God called him. But there was something specific God had for him to build a great nation. I want to tell you today, I believe the same is true for every one of you. God has something very specific for you. Ephesians 4:15 through 16 says this, but speaking the truth in love. I love that verse, don't you? My prayer would be that Riverview Church would always speak the truth in love, that every one of us, when we're sharing the truth of Jesus Christ with people around us, even when they're in our face and are calling us all these different names, speak the truth in love. I'm still going to speak the truth in love. I don't care what you call me. I don't care how loud you're yelling at me. I'm still going to speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, when every one of us is doing our part, makes the body grow so that it builds up itself in love. When every one of us is doing our part, we have a healthy body. And if one person messes up, that's okay. Come on, we get back in it. I just messed up last week. Let's get back together, and we're not going to judge each other and put each other down. We're going to strengthen each other and build each other up and continue to make an impact in eternity. The people around you who don't know Christ, you've been placed in your neighborhood, in your workplace for a reason, to be a light for them. And then to use your gifts and abilities here at church or other church-related organizations to make a difference. You might say, well, Mel, that's a lot of thinking outside the box. That's pretty hard for me to do. Because I've got my schedule and I know what I want to do. I haven't involved God in the process. And that would be a big change for me to start involving God in my life and asking Him what I should be doing. Have you ever seen this puzzle? It's 9 dots. And you probably have. People have been challenged to draw 4 straight lines without picking up the pencil and connecting all nine dots. And people take a pencil, and their first effort is something like this, four straight lines. Ah, center dot wasn't filled in. I try it again. Four straight lines. Let's see how it works. I'll go through the diagonal. Didn't get that other one. Other people get frustrated, and they do it more like this. You know, they draw the third line, then the fourth line. They just kind of cheat a little bit, draw it like that. But to answer the puzzle, you have to think outside the box. You got to go past the nine lines. Draw the line out a bit, and you can connect them all. And that's the same with our lives as believers. Sometimes we got to get out of our thinking the way we've been thinking all along all of our lives, or the way this world has taught us to think. We got to start thinking with faith and begin to reach outside our comfort zone, like Abraham, who was in Ur, loved Ur, but he left his comfort zone, left the kindred that he had there, left the friends that he had, and believed that God was leading him to something greater. And the same is true for all of us. That God is leading us to something even greater. That there are two types of calling in our life. God's objective calling, calling you to salvation. But then there's a subjective calling, a calling for you. What is your place in the body of Christ? You know, God has saved us. He's given us this great commission. Go into all the world and make disciples. And we're to move forward in obedience as we seek to follow him. We're to start walking step by step, obeying God's revealed will and his word. We're to pray for wisdom. Hey, God, I don't know what you want me to do yet, but man, I'm open. Show me what I should do. Lead me to the people who can connect me with a ministry that fits my gifts and abilities. A desire to get out of your comfort zone. Do something radical for God so that people see in you someone who's committed to making a difference with your life. And if you do that, every calling is sacred. If you have a secular calling today, your vocation is somewhere out in the world working in a secular environment. That's a sacred calling if God has led you there. Others of you may be called to a church or parachurch calling. Man, I'd love to see some of our high school kids, college students. So I believe God's calling me to a church ministry. That's where I believe God wants me to be. I have a passion for telling people about Jesus and that we as a church would value that. That we would say first and foremost to our kids, hey, I want you where God wants you. I want you to be where God wants you. If he's calling you to be a missionary somewhere or a pastor, great. That's where God's calling you. But you got to have that passion. God's got to call you. So many people want a sign. You know, they want to be walking down life saying, well, if God's going to call me to be a pastor or something like that, I need some sort of handwriting on the wall, this amazing experience. I need that to happen. Well, that's not the way. And 99.9% of the people who follow Christ, that's not the way they experience God's calling. It's more of a step process. It looks more like this. People are seeking and praying. They commit their lives to God. Lord, I want to follow you, whatever you have for me. I'm going to put Christ first in all areas. I'm going to find out what the needs are in the church or in a parachurch organization. Hey, what are the needs in this place to serve God? To seek counsel from godly people. Hey, this is a ministry that has a need. Do you think I'd fit well in this? Do you see these gifts in me to help out in this area or that? Then you begin to plug into the ministry and you begin to get trained and grow in your ability to minister. And all of a sudden your passion for this ministry grows and you sense, this is where God wants me. I have found my calling. I found my calling. And so often I have seen in people that when people find their calling, they've been shaped by God. Let me use an acrostic to highlight that. Your spiritual gifts, the heartfelt desires you have. Man, you're reading the newspaper and you find out about some kids who are in an accident and they were harmed and you're like, oh, my heart goes out to these kids. That could be an indication of your desire to minister in a children's ministry. Or you just see young people in high school and you're like, oh man, I just love to make a difference in the lives of these young people. Check with Pastor Joe and see if there's a place you could fit in, maybe in the junior high or senior high ministry. Or some other ministries like our men's ministries, our women's ministries, so many other ministries. There's a booklet we have on the information counter, How to Connect in a Ministry, that lists all the various ministries that are out there in our church that would love to have people jump in and help. That your abilities correspond to that ministry, that your personality fits well into that ministry, how God is shaping you. The experiences that you had in the past, you're like, man, I don't know how it happens, but I'm always ending up working with senior citizens in some situation, and I love that. It seems like I'm always kind of directed there. It could be God pointing you to where you should be serving in the church, and that you would sense a divine direction, God opening and closing doors. He does that frequently in the lives of believers. to lead you to a place where you can serve. And all of us have a vocational calling and a church calling. You might be a teacher, for example, and you get the opportunity to serve at a school, and you sense, maybe I should be involved in a children's ministry because I love teaching kids. And in your vocational calling, as you're looking for a job, there are three high schools, you're seeking God's will, you pick one, you move forward boldly, believing this is your calling that God has given you, and you move forward boldly in that calling. But then you want to find a place to serve in the church as well. So maybe you're praying about the nursery or the children's church with older kids, or maybe it's with our child care ministry during the week, helping the women's Bible studies with child care and connecting with the kids in a spiritual way. But you're seeking those opportunities and praying about it. Here's a third thing I see in the text. Being committed to a call-oriented focus in your life. See, I love what Abraham does in chapter 12 of Genesis. So Abraham went as the Lord told him. He packed up all stuff. God said, follow me. And Abraham went, packed up all his things. Lot went with him. That was his nephew. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abraham took Sarai, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, all their possessions that they'd gathered. Like, his whole life changed around this calling. His life became call-oriented, focused. The same should be true for us. That I have a calling on my life. God's called me to be a light in my workplace. Every day I go to the workplace, God, I have your call on my life. I'm going to make a difference here. When I get an opportunity to be a light for you, I will be. In my neighborhood, same thing. Then it says this. Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem. That's in the middle of what's modern day Israel. To the oak of Moreh. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord. Hey, my prayer would be that all of you would have that kind of life commitment to your calling. This is what I'm called to do, and I'm doing it for Jesus Christ. See, a lot of people can do things in their life and get busy with a lot of different vocations, but if they're not doing it for God, it's all like filthy rags to God. You're not doing it for the right reasons. You're doing it for yourself. Whatever you're called to do, do it for Christ. Colossians 3 said this, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive an inheritance as your reward. You serve the Lord Christ. That's who you're serving every day. Policemen, firemen, businessmen, home, at home with the kids, whatever you're doing, you're serving the Lord Christ. You're serving him. How do you know you're in God's will? You might say, well, Mel, I don't know if I'm in God's will. Let me give you some pieces to determining whether or not you're in God's will, a passion. Is there a growing passion for what you do? Doesn't always mean it'll be easy. Doesn't mean there won't be days of discouragement. There are, as a pastor, for me, they're telling, oh man, that's so discouraging. Ah, but there's a passion for what you're doing. There's still a passion. This is what I need to keep doing. I need to be here. There's a purpose. You realize you're part of something bigger than yourself. That it's not just making a paycheck. You're there with a bigger purpose to make an impact for Jesus Christ. There's a peace, a sense of God's pleasure and approval. There's a daily interaction that you have with God. God, I want you part of my life decision. I want to make sure that when I move forward, I'm doing what I'm doing because I know that's what you want me to do. Philippians 4:6-7 says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, whatever it is, whatever you're anxious about, as you involve God in the process, you move forward, and I believe there's a peace that comes, even in the midst of storms you may experience, you know God wants you there, right in the midst of that storm. Here's the next thing, provision. That God seems to keep providing for the ministry that you're involved in. The strength, the help, the people that can come alongside you to help you as the ministry grows. We don't want anybody burning out here. If you're feeling burned out in the ministry, you need to let me know, because no one ought to feel burned out in any ministry. Here's the next thing that could indicate you're in the middle of God's will. Problems and persecution. I say, well, Mel, problems and persecution, that should be an indication I'm not in God's will. No, not at all. Think of Paul when he went from city to city planting churches. He said, in every city I went to, persecution followed me. Every place. Why? Because he was in the midst of the battle. And a battle is often hard and treacherous and filled with persecution. Here's the next thing I see in the text for Abraham. It's this connection. Being intentional about developing an ongoing, growing relationship with the Lord. Look what Abraham does. When he gets to the place where God wants him, it says this. Abraham passed through the land to the, this is verse 6, Shechem to the oak of Moab, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I'll give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then Abraham moved on. From there he moved to the hill country to the east of Bethel and pitched his tent at Bethel on the west side of Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. I love Abraham's commitment. Wherever he went, man, Lord, I'm building an altar to you. I'm making sure I'm well connected with you. And that all of us in our daily walk with God, that we're intentional about making ongoing, growing connections with God. That we're growing, that we're seeking God, that every day you're in essence building an altar to God. God, today, this day is yours. Today, God, I want to live it for you. And man, there are these people at work that bug me and that drive me crazy. And I just, I can't stand it anymore. But God, help me build an altar to you. I want to worship you. I want to make a difference for you. Lord, this ministry at church, man, I'm feeling drained. But Lord, I want to build an altar to you. I want you to be glorified and lifted up in everything I do to make a difference for God. Amen, church? Amen. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Maybe there are some of you today who are saying, well, you know, my life has been really all about me. And there are times at night when I turn off the lights and I'm like, what in the world am I doing with my life? And I want to tell you, God has such a greater calling for you. God has a purpose for your life that'll make a difference for eternity. And my prayer would be every one of us wouldn't waste one day. We would say, Lord, this day is yours. I'm going to live it for you. I want to know your calling on my life. I want to sense your pleasure on my life. Lord, I thank you for what you did. You left heaven to come to earth. Came obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross for us. That was your calling. And you did it for us. Lord, help us to see our lives in that same vein. That we would give our lives for you, Lord. That we would sense the joy, even though it can be difficult, it can be hard, but we would sense the joy of being part of building your kingdom. That we'd be intentional about finding our place to serve. And Lord, that we would do it for you. It's all for you, Lord. We love you today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together.